This is Hidden Killers Week in Review.
A look back at the most prolific stories of the week.
This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
Where do you see the objections coming fast and furious at Lori? How are they going to end up having to shut her down on just, you know, her way of thinking, her candor, her demeanor, her just belief in these crazy, crazy things that she's very willing and ready to argue?
The prosecutor is going to have to think long and hard about when to object and to what, for a number of reasons. One is because the prosecutor doesn't want to look like they're ganging up on this poor lady who doesn't have an attorney, and you have this seasoned lawyer in the courtroom and he's just bullying her. You don't want that impression. Sometimes you don't want the pro se person to just run all over and do whatever they want. But maybe in this case, the prosecutor withholds some objections to just show how unstable and out of touch this individual is, and how they could be capable of something really extreme just based on the extreme nature of their views.
Kind of let her just dig her own hole. Like, go for it. Let's see what happens. Do you think Lori's going to be calling any witnesses, or is this going to be just like an opening statement and I got nothing else and it goes over to defense? Or how do you think this is going to be played?
In watching some of the pretrial hearings where she is pro se, but she did at some point have advisory counsel who's kind of making suggestions and likely preparing things in advance of these proceedings, I imagine she's going to have some assistance. I imagine she's going to have some questions for some of the prosecution witnesses. You know, is she going to have some elaborate coordinated defense with a bunch of witnesses and experts and diagrams and charts and stuff like that? No chance. No. But will she put up a fight? I think she's pretty feisty.
Why do you think she decided to do this interview right now? I mean, is this a strategy? Is she, you know, crazy like a fox, you know, Lori Vallow, or is she just crazy in choosing to do this interview?
I don't see any well thought out strategic decision in favor of doing this interview. I think she is desperate. She's scared. She feels like the narrative has been 100% against her. She's mentioned these court TV commercials that make her look crazy. And I think she just kind of wants to stick up for herself a little bit in the way that makes sense to her.
Could the prosecution use this interview against her? Like, I mean, we've only seen like seconds of it, so I can only imagine what else we're going to be seeing with Keith here. But just her use of, you know, her divine vision of exoneration as evidence, can they use that as a continued evidence of lack of remorse, making it even harder for her to argue for any sort of leniency when it comes to sentencing?
They can absolutely use it technically speaking, it's what's called an admission by a party opponent. So if the defendant's making a statement, that statement comes in against the defendant typically. And certainly there are a number of ways in which they could use it during the trial phase to show, hey, an innocent person who's lost their husband and also their children would be acting a whole lot different in an interview than the way she acted. And then also at the guilt phase, like you said, to show a lack of remorse and to show how this person doesn't really think they did anything wrong, and who's to say they're not going to do something wrong again.
In other cases where you have your own representation, and if they're, you know, if your representative is saying crazy shit like this out in public, you could make the argument that, you know, ineffective counsel here, and use that on an appeal. When you're representing yourself, though, and you're willingly choosing to do all of that, could this be used as an argument for that if, say, she gets another attorney after all of this? Or does the court look at it very differently in this unique case?
In this unique case, I don't think she can make any kind of ineffective assistance of counsel based on these decisions that she solely made. Mm-hmm. There's a concept called invited error. And it's like, hey, if there were some things that went bad that made it so that Lori Vallow had an unfair trial, that could be grounds to get a new trial. But if the source of those things is Lori Vallow Daybell herself, these are decisions she made, you don't get to profit from errors that you inject into legal proceedings.
What are the odds that Lori gets someone on that jury? Because obviously you just need one. She gets some sort of crazy religious zealot on there that also believes they're having conversations with Jesus, and he's showing them visions of the future in their own life. And they could look at this and go, oh, that happens to me too. Maybe she is, you know, talking the truth. But then you'd have to justify that those visions all justified murdering your... Well, it's not about the kids, but it would be murdering your ex-husband right. and attempted murder on Boudreaux. So the kids aren't being argued in this. Can the kids be brought up in this?
Potentially, yes. Now, if Lori Vallow Daybell had an attorney, that attorney would file a motion to exclude any reference to the kids. But what's likely going to happen is Lori's probably going to testify. And if she testifies, the prosecutor gets to bring up any prior felony conviction she has, including for killing her own kids. And so it's likely coming in that way. It could come in through a larger sort of contextual information about all of these series of events related to... her belief system and that kind of thing that contributed to the alleged crimes committed. So I think one way or another, the jury's going to hear about this, and it's going to be a big problem.
Is there a chance, because this trial is still quite a ways away this year, do you think we're going to see what we're expecting to see? Do you think we're going to see Lori actually representing herself, or do you think between now and then she's going to get an attorney? Can she get an attorney at this point? Is it up to her at this point if she brings someone on, or has that bridge already passed her in terms of legal dynamics in this case?
Sometimes it depends on the jurisdiction. In Colorado, where I practice, if a person has chosen to represent themselves, they necessarily waive their right to have an attorney. Now, could they rescind that waiver and say, oh, no, wait a second, I actually do need an attorney? They could make that attempt, and a judge might say, okay, in order to protect the integrity of any potential conviction, I'll let you have the attorney even though you waive the right. Is Lori Vallow Daybell the type to kind of go back on her position like that and ask for help? She's not really that type to me.
She's not. But some people believe that she's faking all this, that this is all an act, and she's, you know, smart like a fox and just doing this as an act. I don't tend to believe that. I think she's nuts. And, you know, in the very scientific term that it is, nuts. But that being said, if she were to get an attorney, could this be part of a strategy to get up close to the trial date and then go, just keep doing crazy shit, keep doing weird interviews and saying insane things, and then I think I need an attorney. And then you get an attorney on board, and then you got to ask for more time because the attorney has to prepare. Is this a strategy to just keep delaying this like indefinitely? Or do you think a judge would say, yeah, you can have an attorney, but we're not changing the date?
It certainly could be, and it'd be a very creative and risky strategy, but not unprecedented. You know, I've talked before about delay essentially being a friend of the defense. You never know what can happen. Witnesses can die or move away. Whenever we look at Trump's cases and the delay, you know, it kind of just kept pushing them out.
Look at the Adelsons. Yeah.
We don't have any cases anymore. Yeah. Things happen. And so would it make sense for her to align herself with some delay and pursue that because of what could happen in terms of the case falling apart? Certainly.
I don't know. I walk away from Lori Daybell every day when I see these stories, and I'm just like, yep, Lori effing Daybell. You never know what's going to happen.
The world of true crime never stops, and neither do we. Press subscribe now to get daily updates, in-depth analysis, and expert opinions from the Hidden Killers Podcast and True Crime Today.